I have very few minutes here to talk to you about my sermon today, so we're going to fly through these. If I can't speak English slowly, can you imagine flying? It's just not going to happen, right? So bear with me, but I think I have something very interesting to share with you this morning, something that has helped me in my life, has helped many Christians in their life, and I think it's going to help you in your own personal life and to do it to work. Let me pray, and then we'll transition in Jesus. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. There's no one like you. We love you, and we thank you so much for trusting us with work every day. You are in your sovereignty. You have places us in our workplace in order to demonstrate of our characters, demonstrate the character of Jesus that it is in us through those around us. I pray that this morning we would open our minds and heart to accept the message of working well. It's in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The last week I started a sermon series on work, right? That what we do matters, that how we live our lives in the workplace does matter, and our faith ought to play a role on what we do every day. I talk about how work is a gift of God to us. In Genesis, God started the world by working, right? He worked for 6 days and he rested on the seventh. So work, I said, is something that God does. So us, having the image of God, we have that also in us, this idea of work. God gave us work before the fall, right? In the beginning, chapter 1, chapter 2, God instituted work and he said, man, go there, work, tend it to earth. And then, of course, comes the fall and things start to change a little bit. But reality is work is a gift of God, is a good thing, even though society might tell us or otherwise. Today, I want to talk to you about this idea of working well, of doing what you do in your workplace in a way that is like above everybody else. Because we live in a time where working well attitude is suffering tremendously. More and more people want to do less and less for higher pay. Thousands of able-bodied people are choosing to live on welfare. Employers and those in administrative roles have to deal with workers who do not want to do a reasonable day's work for a fair wage, or who are willing to climb the ladder, sort to speak, in order to increase their pay and in order to increase the status of living. They just want to get out of college and start working and make millions of dollars. People take sick leave when they're not sick. They fake injuries to get downtime when they're not injured. They take advantage of their 15 minutes break time by not respecting it and taking 25 minutes break. And the list goes on and on and on. It is a job crisis nightmare out there for managers and owners and employers. People just lack work ethic nowadays. I can't and won't address in this passage, in this message, the political view or the perception of justice and injustice in the workplace. I'm not really qualified to address all of those problems because I don't know the intricate parts of all of that. I can't talk about all the government programs and the political stands. And quite frankly, I'm not really interested in those because what I'm interested about as a Christian man and you as a Christian man and woman, that we ought to be interested is on what the Bible has to tell us on how we ought to live a life, how we ought to live our lives as employees and employers, as workers, as bosses, how we, independent of all that's going on around us, how is that we ought to live our lives? That's what I'm interested about, and that's what you should be interested about. I have a statement that is up there for you. You'll be able to see it that says this. The Bible commands us to work well if we want to be blessed by God with the works of our hands. It is a condition. Yes, it is a condition. Listen, if you want to be blessed on your workplace, if you want to be blessed with the works that you do with your hands by God, if you want God to come in and bless you, you ought to work well. So many times, you know, we don't feel blessed in our workplace, and maybe because we are missing few things, some biblical principles in our lives that allow us to be blessed and to feel blessed and to reap blessings in our own personal lives. Look at these verses. I think there are some verses here that are that illustrate and really talks to us about this statement that I just made. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 23 says this: in all toil there is profit. The word toil there is the work, working hard. It's hard work. In all hard work there is profit. But mere talk tends only to poverty. Look at the next one. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. The next one. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. I love that text. I love that Proverbs, right? It's like if you're going to slack out, you're just not going to be blessed. If you're diligent on what you do, that's when God comes and blesses you. Proverbs 12:11, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. The next one. Proverbs 21:25 says this: the desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. Man, if you're going to be lazy, you're not just not going to get to eat. That's what the Bible tells us. It is interesting. The next one. The soul of the sluggard, I don't know if I'm saying that word right, but craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. I love that because the word soul there, it is much more than just the work that you do, the things that you do with your hands. It's much more than that. It's something that happens on within. You know, the whatever the word slugger mean, which for me means has to do with lazy, it is something that comes in the heart, and diligence is something that has to do in the heart. It is a heart thing. It is an inside thing. It is not an outside thing. Proverbs 13:4. Look at the next one. And I think Psalm 128, verse 4, really illustrates to us this statement that I made about being blessed by God. This is what the psalmist say: you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. The word labor is hard work, working it well. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Blessing and being well with you comes from hard work. Comes from working well. That's what the Bible tells us. I remember back in 2001, me and my brother, we worked at a hotel. We were housemans, which meant the house cleaners, they cleaned the room. We would go to their cart outside of the room, and we would like take all the dirty linen, and we would put and switch with new linen. We would take the trash out of the whole hotel, vacuum hallways, clean elevators, and we worked it, and we worked it hard, because I remember back in the day, my mom and dad telling me that, listen, if you want to be somebody in life, you ought to work hard, you ought to work well, you have to have some work ethics. But not only that, I remember when I was 16 years old, when I got my first job at McDonald's, one of the first things that they taught me, that they trained me in, was work ethics. See, I have all this worldly idea of work ethics, and they, even in the worldly way, it worked to my advantage. I remember one day coming to work at the hotel, me and my brother, so this is 2001, right? So 2017, I can barely speak English. Can you imagine 2001, how bad it was back there, right? Like, it was not existent, right? So I remember when they come into work, I already knew, me and my brother knew what we had to do. Our bosses, Ida was his name, call us in, sits us in a chair, and he talks. I didn't understand a word he said. Next thing he I know, two different managers from two different parts of the hotel comes and picks me and my brother up, and we got promoted. Didn't know English. Didn't speak any English. But one thing it did had was some work ethic, right? I became a maintenance, and my brother became a laundry guy, and we continue to work well. You're blessed by God. But it wasn't until college that I started understanding biblical work ethics, this idea of working well and what the Bible has to say about it. And when I started looking back in my life, I started to say, back in the day, mom and dad was teaching me biblical work ethics, even at McDonald's, because the owner of that McDonald's was a Christian man and was based on his Christian belief. I was given young this idea of biblical work ethics. I recently read about a Christian receptionist who would never use company stamps to pay for her personal postage. If it was a matter of cents, she would get the money and put it in the till. Her conduct was so unusual to that office space, to what was going on that specific office, that the staff and other people started to talk about it, about her integrity and her honesty. They talked so well about what she did and how she did it that the higher-ups heard about it and took notice. And before long, she was offered a much more responsible position just because she applied some biblical Christian ethic to her life. A Christian should have the sort of work ethics that when people look at, when their co-worker looked at them, they're like taking note of how they're living in life and how they're doing things. We as Christians, we arrive and work on time and work our full shift. We are not asking anybody to clock out for us. We do not sit around on company time and company money doing nothing. No, we live with integrity, with honesty. That's why, because what we do, we don't do it for ourselves. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 from last week's sermon is that everything we do it for who? For Jesus. We as Christians, we ought to understand that our work ethic demonstrates our character, and we have the character of Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul gives us some inspiring direction for us who works for other people. He was actually addressing the servant and master relationship, but for you and I, translated to the 21st century, is really the idea of employee and employer, employer and employee. So I want to, so many times we read passages like this, right, and we're like, oh, this is not for me, because it talks about bond servant, which the word in Greek really means slave, and earthly masters, like, I don't have no masters. But here's the idea. Paul is talking about the workplace. Slaves at the time, we can have a conversation about that some other time. I can preach on that, on slavery one of these days. But on that time, slaves were the workforce all the time. So Paul could not change that idea. So, but he, as a Christian, even as a slave, as a Christian, there are some principles that ought to be applied to those people's lives, that ought to be applied to our lives as employees and employers. So when you read the word bond servant, that word is slave, read it as employee, those who work for somebody else, right? And when you read the word master, you read the word boss or employer or manager or whatever you want to read there. So, this is what Paul tells in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 and 9. Let's read it. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bond slave, bond servant, or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their masters and your master in heaven, and that there is no, and in him there is no partiality. Paul, giving us instruction on how to work well. This passage is not a forum about slavery, but about the Christian individual personal responsibility in regards to biblical workplace. The work well is not to work well, is to have good moral ethic, and Christians have good working biblical ethics. We ought to use the principles found in this passage and break it down and apply to our relationship with our employee and employers and vice versa. So This morning, I want to break it down, all that Paul has talked to us, bring the principles out that he's talking, and so that we can apply it to our lives. So it might be a little bit dry here. It's not very inspirational, but it's very educational. And I think, and I would like for you to take notes of that and really apply those principles to your life. And I want to start from the beginning, from verse 5. Paul says, bond slaves, obey your earthly masters. Right, employees, obey your employers. I mean, who likes the word obey, right? We're like above the word obey. Like, you grown up, you're going to work, like the word obey just don't apply to your life anymore. When you think about the word obey, you think about what? Kids, right? Kids obey. I don't obey. I mean, I'm above that. I'm above that word, you know. But reality is, Paul is like, listen, you're not above that word. There's always someone above you, and you ought to do what? To obey. The Greek word for obey is really to, Paul is really saying to listen to something, to hear it carefully. There's a stillness about it. It's like stop and pay attention in order to answer to what's been spoken to you. An alternative translation for that word is to yield to a superior command. See, the word obey is the word is a command from God. The word is imperative, something that you ought to do. God, Paul is saying, you ought to do this. There's no, it's not negotiable. You ought to obey your masters. You ought to yield to your superior. But he goes on and say, but not only to yield, but this is how this obedience ought to take place in your life. He goes on to say, obey your earthly masters. Let me tell you how you ought to obey. And he uses four words here that are very important for us. Fear and trembling with sincere hearts as you would Christ. I mean, when we think about fear and trembling, we think about this lavish terror, like this terror that comes upon us that we are like so afraid that we are paralyzed. That's not what Paul is talking about. The word fear and trembling here has really this idea is a compound word that it's two words in one that means deep respect. You are supposed to have deep respect. Your obedience ought to demonstrate itself through deep, deep respect towards those who are above you, towards your employer. You should respect your employers and obey them completely. And really brings this idea of having this anxious eagerness to do your work. It's like, I respect my boss so much that I am eager to go back in there and to do my work in a way that glorifies God. I don't want to disappoint anyone. I don't want to, I have a fear of displeasing my boss. And that's this idea of fear and trembling here. It's this anxious eagerness to go to work and to work it well so your boss will be pleased with you. That's what Paul is telling us. And he said, you ought to do that. That obedience ought to come out of a sincere heart. That is an honesty of heart. A heart that there is no alternative motive. No personal agenda. No hidden intention. The only intention that you have here is to go there to do your work so your boss will be pleased with you. I love how Paul finished that verse and he says, as you would Christ. Man, Paul is—he don't let you out of the hook, right? He's telling you this: obedience to Christ is the standard by which to measure obedience to human masters. Obedience to Christ is the standard in which you measure your obedience towards your employer, your boss, your manager, those who are above you. Paul is telling us this: how you obey Christ is demonstrate itself on how you obey your bosses. Wow. It really, like, stick up to us, isn't it? It's like, here it is, buddy. Take it. But it is. Paul wants us to understand that because to work well is to be blessed by God. So if you take these words, obey, fear and trembling, and sincere hearts, there is like four principles that Paul is talking to us that we ought to translate, we ought to understand and apply on our everyday life as we work. The first set of principles there that Paul is talking through those words is dependability and responsibility. When Paul is talking about fear and trembling, he's really talking about this idea that we ought to be dependable and responsible. We are bosses value workers who are anxiously waiting and wanting to do their work, whose motivation to fulfill their role, it is enough. Who come to work on time, who are there when they're supposed to be, to do, and who are responsible for their work and for their actions and for their behaviors. Being dependable and responsible means to respect those who are above us. So we ought to have this dependability and responsibility instituted in us as we go out there tomorrow morning to work. But I like the word sincere heart because it has to do with the second set of principles there that I'd like to bring it up to you. It's the word honesty and integrity. Sincere heart is to have no personal agenda but to fulfill the role that has been assigned to you. Employers value employees who maintain a sense of honesty and integrity above all else. Who's not pretending to do the work while in reality, they're just chickening out. Good relationships are built and trust on trust and transparency. That's when good relationship between employee and employer is built. When the employer can trust you because you are dependable, because you're honest, because you're responsible, because you live life through integrity. This is verse 5, bring those four principles for us. And verse 6 is not different. He continued to spur us on to live life and to work well. Look what he says. Not by the way of eye service, as people pleaser, but as born servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the work, the will of God from the heart. The one statement here that I even like, I had to stop and really research and read and reread and was the statement, by the way of eye service. I found out that this is how, like, it is a kind of American language, like Americans speak that way, right? I don't, like in Portuguese, if I would translate that would not make sense, right? So this idea of the way of eye service, that's like a lingo, American lingo, right? What does that mean? Huh? Yes. You're just doing your work so people can see. As soon as they turn around, you're doing what? Not doing anything. Right? Man, Paul is saying, like, this is not something new, right? We see this happening in our office, in our workplace all the time. The boss is there. Everybody's like, busy. The boss turn. Right? You put on some, on your screen there is like a ocean, and you just sit, close your eyes, and relax. Like, this is not new. This is something that Paul and the church was dealing with in the first century. And Paul said, like, listen, you don't only perform while your master is there. You don't only perform while your boss is watching. No, you don't do that. You do it all the time. He's there, he's not there. Because what you do, go back to Colossians 3, chapter 23 and 24, because everything you do it for God. God is watching all the time. He does not close his eyes, believe it or not. But the other thing he says is like, as people pleasers. Like, there was people in that time who were working only to please their master. So as long as their master was pleased, they would do whatever. And then as soon as they left or were not pleased with, they're like, I'm not doing that anymore. But some people were doing something to please their master in order to gain approval, in order to gain something extra. So it's like they don't do the work because of integrity. They do the work so they can get something more, something better. I'm not saying we should work hard and be rewarded for it. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. We will. But our intentions, our motivation is not to please people so we can gain something. We ought to please people just to please people. And he finished saying this, doing the will of God from the heart. The expression, doing what God wants to do comes from your heart, might be something that is like, might be something odd. You might think like, wait a second, doing from the heart, how does that work? And what Paul is trying to tell us is that you ought to put all you have into doing what God wants you to do. With all your strength to do what he wants you to do. Set your mind on doing what God wants you to do. That's what he's telling us on this, the last part of this verse. So when we put all verse 6 together with the way of the eye and the people pleases and doing what God wants us to do, there are a couple of principles that comes that Paul is trying to highlight to us. And one is dedication and the other one is productivity. He said Christians ought to be dedicated in their workplace and they ought to be productive. Those with a good work ethic are dedicated to their job and will do anything they can to ensure that they perform well by doing something. Sometimes extra stuff in order to see the work succeed. You don't just do what you're supposed to do. You go a little bit beyond in order to see the work being successful. Dedication and productivity. On verse 7, Paul continues to spur us, and he says this on verse 7, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not for men. Rendering service with a good will. That word goodwill there has to do with rejoice, with joy, with happiness. It brings emphasis of cheerfulness with pleasure. An alternative way of reading this statement could be, do your work as a slave, as employee, cheerfully. As you work as a slave, Paul is saying, be happy. Or while you work as a slave, have a happy heart. Man, so many times we wake up on a Monday morning and we gotta go to work and happiness is not something that is there. You know why? Because we don't understand work as a gift of God for you and I so that we can provide for our family, so we can provide for ourselves, so we can change the world. God is changing the world through your workplace, through you. There is purpose in doing what you're doing. An engineer of a car. When he does his job well and he does it in a way that glorifies God, he saves people's life, right? A doctor who is operating over someone and who is diligently and acting with integrity, what is he doing when he's operating over someone's life? He's saving lives. God is using you in your workplace. It doesn't matter where there is, if there is stay-at-home mom or if you're the president of the United States of America. When you put your stuff under God's wing, doing things for God, God blesses you and he changes the world through your life. A theologian on that verse, his name is Barchett, R.G., says this. Paul is telling us to let your heart dance. Let your heart sing in your way to work, during work, and after work. Because God is trusting you with that moment in your life. God is saying, I'm giving you the opportunity to go out there and to influence the world. So enjoy it. That verse really brings this principle to our life of self-motivating and appreciation of the job. Those who rejoice in their workplace requires little supervision and direction to get the work done in a timely fashion, in a professional way, making them a self-motivated workers who can be trusted and are dependable. They appreciate what they do, even though sometimes they don't like what they do. They appreciate it because they know God has placed them there in that place. Verse 8 brings two other final principles for us this morning. And this is what Paul says on verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back. Receive back from the Lord. I like this. Let me highlight this for you. It says this. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back. If you do good, you receive what good? What back? Good. Do bad, what do you receive? Paul is saying, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. God is good. God is great. But it isn't your responsibility to do good work, to work well. Blessings from God, which is good from God, comes when you do good work. Paul telling us, man, God is the one who keeps you accountable. God asks you to be humble. And that's the principle, the last principles I have for you on verse 8, from verse 8, accountability and humility. To work well is for us to understand that we, God is the one keeping us accountable. And that we are, and that He is the one we are serving. So we are to humble ourselves and remember that we are serving God. So this is how to do it, employees, us working for other people. That we ought to have this kind of lifestyle that other will notice and know that we are applying some Christian biblical principles to our lives. But Paul finishes this way, verse 9. Master, do the same to them and stop threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality on him. Maybe you're a boss here this morning. And you have been hearing me say all these things and you're like, yes, yes, my employees got to have this. My employees got to have that. They got to have more integrity. They have think about being accountable, self-motivated people. They got to be honest and dependable. And you're like, yes, yes, yes. But here's how Paul ends the passage. Masters, bosses, managers, you name it, who are in authority, you ought to do the same. See, here's the thing. We can't want people to live that way if we're not living that way ourselves, right? You can't ask people to live in integrity when the boss is living out of integrity, right? It's like a pastor. I can't ask you to apply these principles in your life if I'm not applying those principles to my life. It just doesn't work that way. But Paul is looking at us, the bosses and the pastors and all those, and say, those in place of authority, you make sure to obey everything that has been put in out there, because who wrote this is not me, Paul, it's God himself, and he is above it all. Nobody's out of the hook. Employees or employers, this is how you live your life. Applying these biblical principles to your life, and you see to succeed. You see that you do well. I know that so many times we read passages like that and we forget that they are applicable to our lives. Ephesians, translated to the 21st century, tell us that employees should be compliant and respectful to their employers. And employers should treat their employees in view of the fact that they both serve a higher master, and that's God, and that's Jesus. So I pray that this morning you take to heart some of these biblical principles that we find in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 9. I pray that you spend some time through the week and that if some of these principles are not found in your life, that you come to God and say, God, I am lacking in integrity. I'm lacking in self-motivation. I'm lacking in accountability, humility. Can you please help me institute those in my life, because I want to be blessed by you. I want to work well because I want to receive good things from you. I ask that this morning you'd have this self-evaluation, that you'd look within this passage and say, hey, this is one area of my life that I need change, Jesus. This is one area of my life that I need that needs to be modified in order for me to be blessed by you. Maybe you don't feel blessed in your workplace. Maybe you feel like, I don't know, you name it. Maybe if you start applying some of these biblical principles to your life from that place, you might find yourself blessed. You might find that your attitude towards that place will change. You find that the works of your hands are being more successful because God himself is somehow in his sovereignty showing up every time you do a project, every time you have a meeting, every time you type something, every time you feed a kid. You know that God is there blessing you with what you're doing, because you understand that what you do, ultimately you do it for God. Let me pray for you. Jesus, the world tells us that work, it is a curse, it's a punishment. But we know that biblically it is a blessing from you. And we, so many times we fail to take advantage of this blessing to our lives. So we live in a way that doesn't glorify you. So I pray that this morning, as we learn some of these principles, that we apply them to our lives and see the results, the rewards that comes from applying biblical principles to our lives. The Bible is clear that those who work well is blessed by you. So We want to work well, so to see those blessings being overflowing in our lives. I pray, Jesus, that you'd continue to guide us and direct us through your Holy Spirit. It's in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.